If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Calling all preachers, evangelists, ministers, and carriers of the Word of God. Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. and the Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invite you to attend Preaching Workshop 2016. This year's theme is Releasing the Fire with Specific Purpose. Come and learn from dynamic preachers of the Word, including Dr. Wesley Pinnock of True Light Fellowship Church, Pastor Clement M. Lupton III of Beloved St. John Evangelistic Church, and Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., presiding bishop of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches. You'll have an opportunity to develop new strategies that will make your preaching effective for the Lord. Workshop topics include preaching for evangelism, preaching for training, and preaching for sanctification. The cost for materials and lunch is $20 per person. It's all taking place Saturday, July 16th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, PA. To register, call 215-885-2585, extension 314, or visit BethelDeliverance.org.
Go to Galatians chapter 5. It doesn't look like it from an exegetical perspective, but Paul scolded the Galatian churches. There were seven little congregations that made up the Galatian church. It wasn't one large church like Corinth. Corinth had 750,000 inhabitants. I mean, they had 1,000 prostitutes at the temple every day for the religious people. So that's why Paul had to deal with them in the manner that he did. If you notice in his teaching to the Corinthians, it really speaks to their spirituality and how they work the natural giftings and their spiritual giftings through their spirituality or lack thereof. But Galatians, he scolds them because they had a relationship with him. And it took him by surprise when they allowed said relationship to be tainted by religious teachers. So Paul was upset. And yet he comes across as a father scolding his children, but no animosity. So he says, I marvel. The Elizabethan use of that word, it's not like you and I would use it today. Like Jesus says, he marveled when the centurion said, you just speak the word. That word there in the Greek really means it so astonished him that it caught him by surprise. Now think about the dynamic of that. They caught God by surprise. There were only two times the word marvel is used. Once with the belief of the centurion, and the second time with the unbelief of the Jews. It said he marveled that they couldn't believe him. Well, Paul says, I'm astonished that you have begun in the spirit and you actually think your completion is fleshly. How many of you have walked with God for any appreciable amount of time, and I mean for 10 years or more, and now you're starting to find that your battles are becoming more intense in areas that you never suspected? You're astonished that the enemy is hitting those once non-essential areas of your life. You used to brag about your abilities, but now they're under attack. How did this happen? Well, Paul tries to tell us that the Galatians undertook a course of action that caused him to question the validity of their spiritual connection. He deals with helping them to identify the major contributors to spiritual decline. He teaches a number of things in chapters 1 through 4. That have to do with their personal connection and even interjecting their relationship between the apostle and the church, the Christians there. He says, there was a time when you would have even plucked out your eyes if I needed them. Unfortunately, people have taken that to mean that Paul had some sort of eye problem and that was the sickness that they said was his thorn in the flesh, and that is untrue. He was simply using it as a type of speech. He was saying, it's like you saying, this is my right-hand man. And I'm telling you, he cut off his hand from me. You know he ain't going to really do it, but it's just like it's a colloquialism. It's saying that you are so close to me that there's nothing you wouldn't do, quote unquote, within reason. And so that's what Paul was saying. He said, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me if I needed them. Now he comes to this startling revelation. The Galatians have had their heart turned. They no longer feel the same way about the Apostle Paul's teachings. So as in every case, Paul's letters are always a response to information that has come to him. Every pastor, every leader, every apostle will always have somebody who will bring them what's going on. You can't stop it. People run, Pastor, they fighting out in the narthex. We'll take $5 and put it on the big bus. I'm supposed to run out my office and referee a fight. No, who winning? And so Paul now tries to get them to understand. So when he comes to the fifth chapter, when he gets to what we would call chapter 5, verse 13, here's what he says, and I'm going to read this to you out of the Living Bible because I just like the translation of it for our purposes. For dear brothers, you have been given freedom. Remember now, the Judaizers come behind Paul, and what Judaism does without the Spirit is it binds you to service, not to God, but to the law. In fact, this was one of the problems that existed in Europe before the Reformation / Renaissance. After the Protestant Reformation, people began to realize how free they were, and they were no longer under the control of the Catholic Church. And that's why the Catholics were so upset that they killed John Huss, they excommunicated Martin Luther, and they couldn't handle this Protestant Reformation, not so much because of the doctrinal truths, but because it was giving people freedom they didn't want them to have. If you remember, the church in those days controlled politics, it controlled the government, they controlled everything. That was the principal reason that Thomas Jefferson says that there needed to be a separation between the church and the state, but not like they're trying to make it today. He was simply saying that the church shouldn't tell the state what to do. Because in George Washington's final speech, he said that the state can't be successful without the church. There's a lot of controversy that he may have even been a born-again person. Because he realized that we needed God more than anything else. And so when Paul teaches this, he's teaching that you've been called to a spiritual freedom. But notice what he says. You have been given freedom, not freedom to do wrong. This is a controversial statement. God hasn't saved you to do wrong. But because you're saved, you can do wrong. I want you to get that, sink in for a minute. Before Christ, you had no choices. You were simply doing what the nature of sin compelled you to do. You couldn't say no. You didn't have the power to say no. Even if you went through a 12-step program, if you didn't have Christ and the Holy Spirit, you would still give in to the sinful desires. But once Christ comes in, you are now free. But the freedom comes with a minus. You can choose to do bad. Because for the first time, you're confronted with both. Whew. And so God says, I have set before you good and evil, life and death. He never said this until you had the capability of choosing. You do not have freedom of will. You have freedom of choice. And then your choice determines your will. When you choose to get drunk, then your will is to get drunk. Because you chose it. See? Because you chose it. Then your will is a slave to your choice. Are you with me? Anybody uncertain? Okay. You say, oh, I got freedom of will. No, you have freedom of choice. And that's the plus and minus of God. He loved you so much that he gave you the will to choose. But then after that, your will follows that. And so many of us make bad. When you choose to involve yourself in a relationship with someone, only God knows the future. So he's telling you, don't do it. Don't do it. And you're like, I heard God say you for me and me for you. One and one make two. And God said, I never told you that. You're making a fleshly decision. And then when the relationship goes bad, you go to God and say, why didn't you tell me? He said, I did, but you chose that. Why didn't you do anything? Because that was your choice. I intervene before you make the choice. And so Paul says, don't use your freedom to do wrong. But use your freedom, I love this, to love and serve each other. Whew. Listen to the apostle. Reveal the principles of the kingdom. It is not the will of God that all of us walk around as rich as a Rockefeller. If it were, you would be. But it is the will of God that we walk in prosperity. But we dare not define prosperity by capitalism. Because Jesus says, if you have food and clothes and a shelter, he said, you're fine. That's what Jesus said.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
06116A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Every time you say that name, something happens on the inside. Depression goes, fear dissipates, joy bells begin to ring. Power flows through you. Every time you say that name.
Come and experience a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God at a three-night revival with Bishop Eric Lambert of Bethel Deliverance International Church, all being held on Wednesday, July 27th through Friday, July 29th. Come to be revived, empowered, and activated to impact the world with the love and the power of God. Services begin 7:30 p.m. with dynamic praise and worship, followed by a powerful message from Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. Prayer will be held prior to each service at 6:30 p.m. nightly. Don't miss this special time to continue to seek the face of the Lord. We are having revival July 27th through July 29th. Be there.